Let's jump into Numbers chapter 7 today. Numbers chapter 7 is kind of a long chapter. it is somewhat repetitive, which is the nature of a culture that is has a low literacy rate, meaning that most people don't read, and it's a storytelling culture, so there's lots of repetition in these types of cultures. So when we read it, don't say, why in the world are we doing this again? That's just how their culture is. We're going to hear the same thing 12 times because each tribe is going to give a gift. Today I want to talk about giving and the fact that Israel gave. And I don't know if this happened to you. It happened to Danielle and I when we were first married and got our own place together. We had a housewarming type thing, maybe it's called a pounding, where back in the old days you would give like a pound of sugar and a pound of flour and a pound of this or a pound of that. Nobody beat us up. But what you do is you have a housewarming party where you celebrate the fact that they have a new place together and that they've come together, and you want to kind of help them get started off, so you give gifts sometimes and all this good stuff. So think of it like that. Today we're going to have a housewarming party, or read about a housewarming party that happened for God as the tabernacle, the mobile temple of the Israelites is consecrated, and it is inaugurated, and it is going to be put into use. Prior to this, God has described what it should look like. God has described, if you remember, we read how it should be transported and covered and have this special leather wrapped around it and all these good things. Well, today we're going to get it open up, and we're going to get it ready to function and ready to be the temple that it will be, the mobile temple that it will have. So the narrative continues on with this theme of the sanctuary and the contributions that Israel makes to it. So like I said, it's a kind of a long text. Stick with me. We're going to read. There's a few names in there, but it's not too bad. But we'll read today how Israel, for lack of a better term, gives God a housewarming party. Let's read, starting in verse 1, it says this. On the day Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed and consecrated it and all its furnishings, along with the altar and all its utensils. After he anointed and consecrated these things, the leaders of Israel, the heads of their ancestral houses, presented an offering. They were the tribal leaders who supervised the registration. If you remember that a few chapters back, there was this registration where they had to all kind of get the numbers of how many people were there, and each tribal leader was given the task of counting his own tribe. Well, those tribal leaders are the ones who are going to be named again and are going to be the ones who presented the offering. Verse 3, it says this. They brought as their offering before the Lord 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart from every 2 leaders and an oxen from each one. It presented them in front of the tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, accept these from them to use in the work of the tent of meeting and give this offering to the Levites, to each division according to their service. So Moses took the carts and oxen and gave them to the Levites. He gave the Gershonites 2 carts and 4 oxen corresponding to their service, and gave the Merarites 4 carts and 8 oxen corresponding to their service, under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. But he did not give any to the Kohathites, since their responsibility was service related to the holy objects carried on their shoulders. The leaders also presented the dedication gift for the altar where it was anointed. The leaders presented their offerings in front of the altar. The Lord told Moses, each day for one leader present, each day have one leader present his offering for the dedication of the altar. The one who presented his offering on the first day was Nashon, son of Aminadab, from the tribe of Judah. His offering was one silver dish weighing 3.5 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds. Measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine mixed flour and oil for a grain offering, one gold bowl weighing 4 ounces, full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering Nashon, son of Abinadab. On the second day, Nathanael, son of Zerar, leader of Issachar, presented an offering. As his offering, he presented one silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one golden bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Nathanael, son of Zerar. On the third day, Eliab, son of Helon, leader of the Zebulites, presented an offering. His offering was one silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine mixed flour, mixed with oil for a grain offering. One gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Eliab, son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eleazar, son of Shedor, leader of the Reubenites, presented an offering. His offering was one silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Eleazar, son of Shedor. On the fifth day, Shemuel, son of Zurishaddai, leader of the Simeonites, presented an offering. His offering was one silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This is the offering of Shemuel, son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, Eliphaz, son of Deuel, leader of the Gadites, presented an offering. His offering was one silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Eliphaz, son of Duel. On the seventh day, Elishama, son of Aminahud, leader of the Ephraimites, presented an offering. His offering was one silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and one silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Elishama, son of Aminahud. On the eighth day, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur, leader of the Manassehites, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and 1 silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. 1 gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for a fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. On the ninth day, Abinadan, son of Gideoni, leader of the Benjamites, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and 1 silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. 1 gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering. 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls full, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Abinadan, son of Gideoni. On the 10th day, Ahazar, son of Amishadai, leader of the Danites, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and 1 silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Eleazar, son of Amishadai. On the 11th day, Pagiel, son of Ochran, leader of the Asherites, presented an offering. This offering was 1 silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and 1 silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for a fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Pagiel, son of Ekron. On the 12th day, Ariah, son of Enon, leader of the Naphtalites, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds and 1 silver basin weighing 1.75 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 gold bowl weighing 4 ounces full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb, a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male breeding goats, and 5 male lambs, a year old for the fellowship sacrifice. This was the offering of Ariah, son of Enon. This was the dedication gift from the leaders of Israel for the altar when it was anointed. 12 silver dishes, 12 silver basins, and 12 gold bowls. Each silver dish weighing 3.25 pounds, and each basin 1.75 pounds. The total weight of the silver articles was 60 pounds, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel. The 12 gold bowls full of incense each weighed 4 ounces, measured by the standard sanctuary shekel. The total weight of the bowls was 3 pounds. All the livestock for the burnt offering totaled 12 bulls, 12 rams, and 12 male lambs a year old with their grain offerings, and 12 male goats for a sin offering. All the livestock for the fellowship sacrifice totaled 24 bulls, 60 rams, 60 male breeding goats, and 60 male lambs a year old. This was the dedication gift for the altar after it was anointed. When Moses entered the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony. From between the two cherubim, he spoke to him that way. My amen corner over there. You're probably thinking, why in the world did he read all that? Why did he read all 12 of the exact same thing? Let me give you a couple of reasons why. Reason number one is because it's God's word. And it matters. It matters because if God didn't want us to know about it, he wouldn't have put it in there. There's been lots of things that happened in the history of Israel. There's been lots of things that the scripture even talks about. These other things were written in the annuals of the kings, where we don't have the annuals of the kings and we don't have these other things written, but we have this. So I know it'd be easy for us to gloss over it and just to run over it, but it's important because God put it there. The second reason is this. Each of their offerings was significant. Even though it was the same as the day before, the day before, the day before, for 12 days, each person's offering was significant. Your offering is significant. Every person here who gives an offering is significant. Whether it's the same thing as the person before you or different, it is significant because it is given to God. Now, that was all extra that kind of came while I was reading. They're probably thinking, why am I keep reading this? But I wanted to let you know that it's important because God gave it to us, and it was important because each person's gift is important. Now let's jump in, and I'll tell you what we just read. I know some of you probably kind of got glossed over eyes, and you kind of got lost there, and you're like, why is this important? Well, giving to God is important. And that's the point I want to make today. It's about giving to God. The leaders of the tribes gave 6 wagons and 12 oxen. So each wagon had 2 oxen to pull. And the reason that they gave that was for the transportation of the temple and the kind of the skeleton of the temple, the poles and all those things we read about a few weeks ago, and the curtains that made up the temple. And so they gave them these covered wagons and these oxen so that they can be transportation. It's very practical why they gave the Levites this. Two oxen per wagon, and they're going to go to these two different groups of the Levites. If you remember, there's 3 groups. They all got mentioned today. The Gershonites and the Merarites, each of them were either given the responsibility of carrying the curtains for the temple, and the other group was responsible for carrying, if you want to think about it, the skeleton, the poles, the ropes, the tent pegs, all those different things that hold the temple up. So it was very practical for them. The Kohathites, the third group, didn't get anything, didn't get a wagon because they didn't need a wagon. They were responsible for carrying the temple furniture. And by temple furniture, we mean the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, the lampstands, all those different things. But they couldn't touch them because they were holy. And so if you remember, they had to put poles through it and they had to carry it on their shoulders so that it would not fall, it would not get damaged. and it was carried by only the Kohathites. And so that's why they don't get wagons. They had to carry it on their shoulders, with the poles, carry it to wherever they were going. So these 12 tribes gave gifts through their leaders. Again, the same leaders that are mentioned a few chapters prior, who were the ones who numbered the different tribes and said, hey, this is how many men we have of fighting age. They were responsible for that. They are the ones who now represent their tribes in giving the gifts. They are the ones who represent all their total tribe in giving the gift for them. It'd be like the father of a family giving a gift to God on behalf of his family. So the different leaders of the different tribes, if you remember, there were thousands in each tribe. They came and they presented these gifts to God. And what they gave was, they gave a silver platter, they gave a silver bowl, and they gave a gold bowl, and then they gave some various animals for sacrifice, as well as a grain offering for sacrifice. There's three things I want to point out for the purposes of the gift. The first one I've already talked about is that it provided vehicles for transportation. The oxen and the carts were just simple vehicles for transportation. Be like today, somebody would give them a box truck, you know, so they can pack everything in it and shut it down and be able to drive it from one place to the next. The second thing is that it celebrated the initial public use of the altar. The altar had not been used yet, where they would sacrifice the animals to God. And this was the initial giving of the different sacrifices. And in each day, they gave these same sacrifices, the bulls, the rams, the 12 breeding lamb sheep, the five lambs a year old, the bulls, all these different things were each day sacrificed on this altar. And so it celebrated the inauguration of the use of the temple and the altar. It was the center of corporate worship. It was like if we come together and if we had built a new church and we would come together and have an initial inaugural celebration and worship service. That's what they're doing and celebrating this over 12 days with each tribe. The third thing it did was acknowledge God as sovereign. And it acknowledged their service to him. It acknowledged that God is God. It acknowledged that they will worship him. It acknowledged that what happened on Sinai a year or two before, when God gave them the Ten Commandments and where they promised to be obedient to him and where they promised to be faithful to him, that, you know what? He is God, and we are sacrificing to him. We are giving to him because we acknowledge that he is God and we are not. We acknowledge that he is sovereign and that he controls things. We acknowledge that we are in servitude to him. And then the chapter ends with Moses going into the tabernacle, into what would be called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is. And you may have seen pictures of it if you ever watched a kind of old movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. Great theology in that movie. That's a joke. But anyway, there's at the end of it, they have a replica of what the Ark is. And the Ark is this golden box that held some things. It held the Ten Commandments. It held, which we haven't got to yet, a bowl of manna, and it held Aaron's staff. And so those things were in the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant had two angels, or two cherubim, facing each other. And those cherubim, right there in the middle of those two cherubim, was where God's Spirit dwelt. It's where God spoke from to Moses. And we see God speaking to Moses, which further identifies with him being God. That from this ark, of the covenant, God is going to have relationship with man. Now, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant anymore. We don't need God to speak to us from a box. We have God speaking directly into us through His Spirit. So, as we think about this text and as we think about this story, there's a few application points that I want to make. First thing is this. We kind of get lost on this idea of giving as kingship. And what Israel is doing is they're consecrating the temple and they're consecrating to God. But if you remember, they don't have a king right now because God is their king. God is the one who is their king. And our concept of a king is flawed because the only kings we have nowadays are celebrities who have very little input. They're just figureheads. We think of maybe the king and queen and the different in Europe who have very little say-so. King Charles is just a figurehead. He's a rich figurehead who gets his name in the paper a lot, does ceremonies and things like that. He's not a ruler of England. That's been given to the parliament. And you can say, well, maybe it's like a president. No, God doesn't get elected every 4 years. You say, well, maybe it's like a dictator. No, God is not a dictator. While God is sovereign and God is above and God is over all things, God does not treat you like a dictator treats you. And so this idea of us having paying homage or giving to God is really a foreign concept in our culture. Yes, we give at church, and yes, we give for different reasons, but why do you give? Why are you giving? Just because the preacher said so? Are you giving just for practical purposes because you like the air conditioner and lights and those type things? Think about that. Why are you giving? Are you giving because you worship a God who is worthy of being given to? Or are you giving just because it was something you're supposed to do? While Scripture teaches over and over and over again about being a giver, and I encourage you to be a giver, make sure you're giving out of understanding of who God is. And you're giving back to Him because you are His servant and you are someone who loves Him and recognizes that you're giving to God because He has so richly given to you. Understand Israel's predicament here. Understand Israel's setting here. They are a people who are just a couple of years removed from living in Egypt under slavery, surrounded by the false gods of the Egyptians, who cried out to God and said, I want to be free. Who cried out to God and said, I need salvation. And God provided that. And so out of gratitude and out of homage and out of respect for God, the people of Israel give an offering through their leaders. Day after day after day. It wasn't just an offering to say, I'm sorry. Notice there is a sin offering involved in this where they say, we have sinned, forgive us. But most of the offering is about other things. There's a fellowship offering in there, which means we have relationship. And I'm grateful for that relationship. Why do you give? God is not a dictator. God is not a figurehead of a king. He is holy. He deserves honor. He deserves respect. And He deserves you. The Israelites brought tribute. If you look at your hands, what do you bring? What do you bring to God? In gratitude for the fellowship that he has with you. What do you bring to God in repentance and as an offering for the sin that's in your life? And we've reduced an offering just down to money. And while money is certainly an aspect of it, it's us giving to God that which he has so richly blessed us with. We give back to God month after month after month because he is a good and gracious God. What else do you have to give God? You have a song to sing, a prayer to give, a testimony to tell. Your money, your energy, your time, your entire life. You give back to God your obedience. Giving to God is so much more than paying a bill. God is not a monthly bill that we pay and then say, okay, that's done. No, when we give to God, we give from our entire being of who we are. Our giving should be, according to Scripture, it should be sacrificial. It should be joyful. It should be gracious giving. And again, that means not just our money, but our service. In the way you serve others and do ministry, what are you giving? What have you brought to him today? Too many of us bring him empty hands and an empty heart instead of gratitude and praise and worship and adoration, a prayer of thanksgiving instead of just a prayer of need. And yes, we do bring money because it represents things that are valuable to us. We give to him all these things because he has so richly blessed us with fellowship, with salvation, with all the good things that come to us come from him. Because he is good, he is gracious, he is sovereign, and he is Lord. So as Chris plays and invite you to think about your life and your offering. What are you giving to God? What are you offering to him? What's in your hands to give back to him? Yes, you should be giving money, but you should be giving him so much more. God, we thank you that you are a God who has given to us first. You've given us your grace. You've given us your mercy. You've given us salvation. I pray that we would never take for granted those things. That when we come to you, we wouldn't come with empty hands. That we come to you with what's important to us. Our time, our energy, our money, our relationships. A song to sing, a prayer to pray. And thanksgiving in honor of you. God, may our hands be full as we give to you. In Jesus' name I pray.